Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hello! I'm Leon, and welcome to Good Time, Not a Long Time, a weekly comedy podcast where we vant, do random quizzes, discuss the latest news, and give up questionable advice. Now, without wasting any time, let's get straight into the podcast. Well, tut, we have a few Skyvers, it seems, you know? Tegan, Ellie, disappointed, and they used to pick on me for not showing up to the podcast. Well, look who's laughing now. It's me. But yeah, right. So the podcast actually was supposed to be distanced because it's a decision that I made based on, well, revising for my exam, which we're gonna delve deep into it later. And then also because one of my sisters has also caught COVID. So it was going to be distanced. However, Ellie decided that Greg's was more important than the podcast, and Tegan decided to Skype. No, I'm joking. Okay, so Ellie, she wanted to take her brother out for a meal at Greg's. Is that even possible? I don't know. And Tegan had a online course for her work, which on a Saturday, who can be asked? No, I'd turn around to the employers and be like, shove it up your ass. Unless I'm being paid extra, it's not going to happen. And Tegan wasn't paid, so... Well... It's just me and thee, as they say, and I've also got the microphone in handheld mode, so if there's some rustling, it's because I'm moving the microphone about. You know, I thought I might as well just do this recording whilst I'm chilling, you know? I'm sat in my bed, got my microphone in my hand, and I'm just chatting with you all. But yes, I have to start revising again because I may or may not have failed my second exam that I did. Well, yeah. I failed. Okay, I'm not gonna sugarcoat the situation. I failed by quite a lot as well, which is worse than the first time. But yeah, the first time I failed by 3%, which was a massive blow because failing by 3% and then also missing out on a remark by 0.5%, because I would have had to fail by 2.5% in order for it to be remarked. So the second time, it was anticipated that I'd do better. Since I was so close the first time. Yeah, no, that was completely out of the park. I failed very badly. But the reason why I failed very badly is because I didn't have time to answer the last question. If I had answered the last question to the full, and the annoying thing as well, it was on a quality assurance and quality management, and that is something that I've revised quite intensively during my revision sessions, because there were two things that I revised, right? It was risk management and quality management. They were the two topics which I wasn't doing too well on when I first did my exam. So I thought I'll revise those intensively. And I did. So for the last question, when, you know, quality management was there, I was like, oh yes, bring it in. Until I realised I had about 5 minutes to answer the question. 5 minutes to answer an entire 50 mark question. So if I was able to answer it, I probably would have been able to pass. But that was the reason why I failed, and by quite a lot as well, because I ran out of time. And I don't know, I don't understand why, because I didn't approach the exam differently than did the first time. So don't know how I ended up managed. Well, actually, I think I might know how I ended up managing. Wait, what? How I ended up failing this exam. And that was because I revised so much more. I had more information to put. And it's annoying as well because on every single question, I averaged higher, or my score averaged higher than I got before. But it was that last question, unfortunately. And maybe a little bit in between. There was another topic which I only got not enough. But yeah, unfortunately, I'm just going to have to do it again. Well, because of that, from now on, the podcast recording is going to be distance. It's not going to be in person. And that's because, for some reason, strangely, distance podcasts are easier to edit than in-person ones. And that's because when you're in person, you have to take into consideration the other person speaking, so you have to edit that out or come back. It just takes more time. So it's going to be distance until I'm able to do my other exam. Don't know when it's going to happen. Everybody's quite miffed about it because of the way that it's been done. Essentially, the way we've been prepared is very bad. And even my company as well has been like, we're switching. We are not staying with these providers. We are going. We are leaving. So who knows what's going to happen? Well, I know. I am going to do this exam for the third time and hopefully not fail. So it's back to the revision because it's been 6 weeks since I last did it. That's the annoying thing as well. You have to wait 6 weeks per exam. It's so frustrating because it's been known that it only takes 2 weeks for the actual marking. The rest of the weeks are them deciding whether or not I cheated on the exam, which it shouldn't take that long, my friends. It should not. But that's how it goes. And yeah, just it's been 6 weeks since I last did it. So I need to refresh myself and just get back into the swing of things, I guess. But I'm going to be honest, I haven't been revising this weekend because I've not got a specific date to aim for. I emailed my tutor, but as always, no response, because that is exactly how the exams have been going. And that's how the exams have been taught. No response from the tutor, so I don't know when the exact date is. So for this weekend, I thought I'm probably going to have to start revising very, very soon and very intensely. So I've just been relaxing with Overwatch. I've got back into the swing of things in that sense. Overwatch was a game that I used to play religiously when it first came out. You know, where all the like characters and stuff, they were all OP and things. But now it's kind of, the game's dead because they just haven't been updating it. But they've been working on an Overwatch 2, and that's why I've got back into it, because I did a little cheeky pre-order of Overwatch 2. The beta's coming out in a few days' time, so I'm playing that. You probably don't even care, to be fair. Some of you might not even know what Overwatch is, but that's what I've been doing in my spare time. But all weekend, in fact, late night gaming. Another thing that I've been getting into as well is a small TV show called Smiling Friends. Not sure if anybody's heard about it, but Smiling Friends is essentially, it's an adult cartoon, bear with me. It's an adult cartoon, but created by online creators like YouTubers, and you know, there are some cameos as well, like Finn Wolfhard who are in it, and he plays a character which you wouldn't even guess is Finn Wolfhard, because he has a voice modulator or whatnot. It's the guy living in the walls. But yeah, so Smiling Friends it's an adult comedy, and usually I don't like to watch adult cartoons. They don't interest me that much because they try to be like as vulgar as possible, and like the jokes just don't land, and it's just for the sake of, yeah, it's because it's a cartoon and it's funny because it's gruesome. They usually try to go in the direction of Family Guy and every other cartoon that was based off of Family Guy, because they found a formula and it works. But the issue is that worked about 10 years ago. Like it's old comedy. But I go back now and I watch Family Guy, it's awful. It's not funny. I don't even smirk whilst watching it, and I don't know why I enjoyed it so much when I was younger. Maybe because I thought, oh, well, this is a TV program that I shouldn't be watching because it's, you know, it's a bit too graphic and it's adult. But no, I don't know why I was interested in it in the first place. But this one, Smiling Friends, every episode is very short. It's about 10 minutes long or something. I mean, you can see a lot of reviewers on YouTube who would be going, this is like top quality stuff. This is good stuff. And I watched it, and I'm going to be fair, at some moments I did laugh out loud. Some moments it was, oh yeah, that's a bit vulgar or whatnot. But they do it, I was going to say tastefully, you can't really be tasteful with it, but they do it in a way which they're not doing it for the sake of just throwing it in. You know, it's done with meaning. It's done with purpose. And that's why I like it. So Smiling Friends is on Adult Swim, but if you're in the UK, it's also on Channel 4 for free. So sign up and just watch it. It's fun. It's great fun. Another thing that I want to discuss as well is biopics. There have been a lot of biopics released over the course of, I don't know how many years it's been, but there's been a surge in biopics. Hollywood are now obsessed with creating exaggerated storylines of people who have been successful in their lives. Right, and I might understand, or I understood the biopic for, you know, Queen and people like that, who, you know, maybe you are interested in finding out how they got to where they were. But the issue that I have with biopics is, what is the point of creating an exaggerated storyline where you could just watch a documentary? That sounds boring, but it's like Hollywood have run out of ideas. They don't know what else to create. So instead, they're going to cash in on famous people that people are obsessed with just for a guaranteed, yep, we're going to earn a bit of money from this, you know, and it's boring. I absolutely despise biopics. I find it so uninspired. And the issue is that it's not like that it's one coming out every so often. It's one coming out a lot of times. For example, what we've got we had the Queen one. We had, I forgot his name. We have another one. There was another one. I forgot his name. You know, sack it, whatever. But you've also got one of Elvis. You know, that's coming out. There's one for Madonna. Madonna's getting one. And quite controversially enough, Halsey's getting a biopic starring, what's her face? 11 from Stranger Things. What is her name? Oh, my mind's gone blank. Bloody hell. No. So, yeah. So, Halsey's getting one. And the issue that I have with that is, Halsey's still, I would say, in the height of her career. She's still in the game. You know, she hasn't retired. She's not died. So, why is she getting a biopic? Because anything could change from this point onwards. But all from the point that they're deciding to write it, anything could change. And out of all of the modern artists of today, as much as I love Halsey and her music, I wouldn't say, does she deserve a biopic? I wouldn't think so, no. To put it into perspective, Halsey's getting a biopic, not Adele. You know, because Adele's just like an absolute powerhouse of a singer. Even famous singers are like, I want to go watch Adele, you know. So biopics, I don't agree with them. Just watch the documentary. Documentaries of these people are more interesting than a biopic, because the documentary goes fully in depth into like exactly what their childhood was like, you know, how they got to where they were. Whereas biopics, like, everything's just over exaggerated. Some bits are thrown in just for the sake of having drama, and it's like, people are going to watch that and think, oh, that's how it went. No, that's not how it went. They just added it in because it needed a bit of spice in an already boring biopic. So that's my two cents on the situation. I get, and like I said, as much as I love Halsey, I don't think she should be getting a biopic. No. Unless she's retired, then yeah, go for it. 10 out of 10. But there are other pop icons who have been in the business longer than she has, and they've not got a biopic. So what is the point? Unless she's got a really interesting childhood. But hey ho, again, they might try to make it as dramatic as possible, because that's what they like doing anyway. Another thing that I disagree with is MasterChef. So I don't watch MasterChef at the moment, but I do watch the small snippets of MasterChef in the like Snapchat stories or in like the YouTube recommends and whatnot. And they usually come up with a MasterChef clip. And one that keeps on coming up is Australian MasterChef. No, not Australian. New Zealand MasterChef. Or is it Canada? The one with the Asian chef. What's his face? Chef Alvin? Is that his name? I don't know. But he needs to take a chill pill, for one. He tries to be Gordon Ramsay, but he failed. The issue is that even Gordon Ramsay doesn't act like this in MasterChef. He acts like this in Hell's Kitchen, because they're all claiming to be professional chefs and they can't even cook a bloody risotto. But in an actual MasterChef, he's very understanding. He's a very understanding person, because he knows that these are home chefs. There's also a very big contrast as well between how he treats adults and how he treats children in the children's MasterChef. But he does it because, again, in Hell's Kitchen, they're claiming to be professionals, yet they can't even cook basic stuff. So the anger is warranted. However, Chef Alvin, I think that's his name anyway, in whatever MasterChef it is, New Zealand, Australia, whatever, Canada, I think it's Canada, I think it is, but he just needs to take a chill pill. When things go wrong, he shouts at them and he's like, this is unacceptable. But the problem is that when he's angry, it's more funny than it is terrifying. If I was shouted at by Chef Alvin, I'd laugh in his face. I'd be like, okay, take a step back, mate. You are as intimidating as a baby pulling an angry face. And also, what is it? Chef Bestiano, which is the one where he's with Gordon Ramsay and that other fella. You know, he also needs to take a chill pill. Why is life so serious? What is the point of getting angry at home chefs for a living? Take that silver spoon out of your ass, right? And then maybe you'd be able to live life a little better. Yeah? But yeah, so that's one of the things that annoy me about MasterChef. Another thing as well is, it's called MasterChef, yet they heavily prioritize dessert tasks, don't they? You know, like cakes and stuff and cake making, and then they're penalized, and then they're... But when someone goes wrong, it's like, this is MasterChef. This is unacceptable. Yeah, it's MasterChef, mate. It's not Master Baker. And, yeah, maybe, arguably, they should know how to bake. Okay, yeah. But it shouldn't be a focus, or it shouldn't be a winning point for the tasks. But yeah, you have, it's two different things because it requires two different skills. And the fact that I see all the time, they're focusing on bloody cakes and things. And there was one where they had to guess the flavours of a layered cake. Who has time for that? Who's going to eat that? I'm like, oh yeah, I could taste all of these seven flavours. No, it's set up to fail. And they take it so seriously as well. They look at the cake and they think, this is MasterChef, and you didn't do too well on that baker test, did you? So go home. It does not make any sense. And another thing as well is, again, these are home chefs. These are chefs who they just cook, I'm guessing, for fun. And they've applied because, you know, they may want to take it a step further. And yet they throw in tasks like, here is an Indian curry. Guess all 20 billion flavours within this Indian curry. Who has the time? Who cares? I don't even watch like a full video because as soon as I'm into it, I just get annoyed. I get angry either at the tasks that they've been given or at the chefs in general. You know, it's really, they're all so up their own arseholes. It's just cringy to watch. I don't like it. Anyway, that felt like more of a rant, to be fair. I've been ranting for a full, I don't know how many minutes it's been. But anyway, because Ellie isn't here, we're not going to do Nerd Off. So I think it's our time to move on to In What World? This week's top stories. Fish are taking a plane. The world's largest bacterium has been discovered. And apparently there is no need anymore for completing a capture quiz. I'm Leon and this is In What World? So our first story today, a salmon firm plans to fly fish in its own Boeing 757. So a salmon farming company has bought a Boeing 757 in a race to get its fresh fish onto the planes of diners in Manhattan in less than 24 hours. The Faroese firm Bakkafrost, which also owns the Scottish Salmon Company, argues it can cut its carbon footprint by flying its own jet across the Atlantic and minimise waste by getting its fish to the US customers faster. However, sustainability campaigners say its transatlantic flights raise new questions about the climate impact of the global seafood industry and its increasing reliance on air freight to open new markets overseas. Bakkafrost 757 is being converted into a flying fridge capable of carrying 35 tons of fresh salmon chilled to 0 degrees from the Faroe Isles. So a company is flying their own fish. They've took it upon themselves to do that. And campaigners are campaigning against it because they believe that, you know, it could get there faster and it could cut down the costs of or some of the pollution from the traditional methods. And my problem with, well, not this situation, I think, you know, what they're doing is, it's cool, whatever. Just do you, whatever. It's the campaigners who are campaigning against it. The issue that I have is how is this company supposed to transport this stuff in an alternative method? Like, if they could come up with a solution, or if they can invent a solution, and then this company is actively not taking that solution, then yeah, okay, complain about it. But I feel like nowadays it's like, you're complaining for the sake of complaining. You know, you complain about, oh, this is causing, you know, global warming, this is causing pollution and things, then yeah, it's bad. But what is the alternative? What is the offer? Unless you want us to go back to caveman times and literally just live like nothing. It's an issue as well is that these campaigners, there are many things that they will do which will negatively impact the carbon footprint. You could do anything and it negatively impacts the carbon footprint. Everybody's doing it, okay? There's no set solution. Yes, there are methods to be able to cut back from that and, you know, maybe not use as less as possible, but what's the alternative solution for that? So, again, it just goes back to life is short. What is the need of just, you know, complaining about these things? Everybody's going to die anyway. Take a chill pill, okay? Yeah, okay, back in the day, the ozone layer was, it was very bad, in fact. It was getting to a crisis levels, but fortunately all the world leaders, they got together and they created a deal, and now the ozone layer is prepared now, so we fixed that. But for everything else, it's like everybody's contributed to the carbon footprint in some way. Some are major, some are just less. It's just deal with it. Anyway, in other news, scientists have discovered the largest bacterium the size of an eyelash. So this bacterium comes in the form of white filaments the size of human eyelashes in a swamp in Guadeloupe. I'm saying it and I feel like somebody has said this before. It's just I can't wrap my Guadeloupe. I don't bloody know. But
At about 1 centimeter long, the strange organism...
Oh my word. Thea Margarita. Magnifica. Wow.
Is roughly 50 times larger than all other known giant bacteria and the first to be visible with the naked eye.
Bloody hell.
The thin white strands were discovered on the surfaces of decaying mangrove leaves in shallow tropical marine marshes. The discovery was a surprise because according to models of cell metabolisms, bacteria should simply not grow this big. Previously, scientists had suggested an upper possible size limit about 100 times smaller than the new species. So we're discovering something new every day, aren't we? We're discovering something new every week. And that is why science is quite interesting. Tegan would disagree. In fact, I can imagine exactly what Tegan would be saying right now if she was here. And that would be, why can't we, you know, pump these resources into like more important things, like other things?
But I find it really interesting. I find this stuff great because it's the volatility of, you know, science and how it changes.
It's not good for GCSE students, granted, because the things that you learn in GCSE, they can change in about 10 years' time. Like, hey, do you remember when we said that the Earth has a core? Yeah, that's false. It's actually a giant ice cube in the center. I don't know. Obviously, that's an exaggeration. But yeah, so it changes all the time. I find it really interesting. And also, a piece of bacteria being seen with the naked eye, that is great. And again, it kind of changes some of the theory study within, you know, A-level and GCSE-level science. So I find it quite fun. I did also get a, what was it? An A-star in chemistry and physics and an A in biology. So, you know. Oh, but where did that go? Where did those skills go? They went nowhere. I'm not a doctor. Not a scientist. Didn't apply. Not an astronomer. I did want to be an astronomer at some point. I did want to work at NASA. And there was an opportunity for me to be able to apply for an internship there. But unfortunately, the person who was setting that up, they had to take time off, essentially, because of a few family issues. So that's understandable. But yeah, no, I, looking back, I had a lot of prospects, didn't I? I did really well in my exams. Did really well. Just didn't apply them. But to be fair, I look on that now and I think, well, if I were to go down that route, I would still be in university, possibly studying a subject which I'm not really that into. Like, that's why I picked geography, chemistry, and biology when I went to A-levels, and that was because I liked geography. Geography was the only one of those options that I liked. Chemistry I picked because I got an A-star in it, and biology I picked because I thought, oh, if I pair that with these two other subjects, I'd be able to apply to be a doctor in university. But I knew that it wasn't really the career path for me, essentially, because there's a difference between being a doctor and being a doctor that's passionate about their job. It's very different things. Like, if your goal every day is to go out and save lives, you have to be passionate about it. I was originally, to be fair, hands up, going down that pathway because, like, this bumps me up with society a little bit. You know, it's a respected profession, and it'd be quite cool to be one of the first members of the family to be a doctor. But, you know, I've realised that that's not really healthy to approach things like that. So instead, I went off and I did my own thing. And I look back on that and I think, if I were to go down that other route, then I wouldn't have been able to, you know, get my car now. I wouldn't have been able to fund a lot of things that I got for myself. A lot of, like, essential things as well. I wouldn't be able to, like, freely go out anywhere and, you know, treat friends, treat family, things like that. So there's a lot of things that I wouldn't have been able to do if I went down the path. But I'm content. The only thing I'm not content about is doing those exams. Those exams can go 0-1-2-1 do one because they are the bane of my existence at the moment. But again, those exams are not in reflection of my company that I'm with. Like, I actually enjoy the work that I do. It's a lot of experience within, like, the core business practices and things, and it's something that I've always been interested in. And in my company as well, they're focusing on the hydrogen side of things and, you know, pushing that sustainability for hydrogen and things. And that, to me, that's quite interesting. So that's my plans in the future, to get involved in those projects. But yeah, I'm quite content at the moment. I'm happy that I did go to university. And also, just because I didn't go a few years ago doesn't mean I can't still go. You know, there will be opportunities for me to study at a university if I wanted to. But anyway, in other news, the iOS verification update marks an end to captures. So do you know when you're, you know, going online and you're visiting a website and then you get brought up a really weird thing called a capture where you have to pick all the traffic lights that are shown, for example. But sometimes the capture is quite weird when it just shows one picture of, for example, a traffic light and it says, please click on all of the traffic lights. Okay, does that mean, you know, click on the lights? Like, click on the actual lights and then the pole bit does it also want me to click on the spaces, which is just a picture of the sky, but a little corner is of the traffic light? I don't understand them, but they're basically what captures are, if you weren't aware already. And an iOS update has implemented something where you no longer have to do that. So a new feature in the upcoming versions of iOS and macOS, Apple's operating systems for iPhones and computers, promises to give the boot to captures once and for all. Called automatic verification, the technology will allow sites to verify you are not a robot without you having to do anything at all. And this is a direct quote from Apple's Tommy Pauly. You likely don't enjoy being interrupted by these. I certainly don't. The reason these experiences exist is to prevent fraudulent activity. If you run a server, you don't want it to be overwhelmed by fraud. Some attempts to create accounts or buy products come from legitimate users, but others' attempts may be from attackers or bots. So they pretty much implemented a new thing in their update, which gets rid of the capture side of things, and they do it all automatically. If you're on Android, ha! Suck it. Sorry. No, if you're on Android, that's cool and everything, but you're not going to be able to bypass these capture things, unfortunately. But yes. Anyway, I think it's now time to move on to Agony Ant.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
So in this segment, Tegan usually comes up with something that she's thought of in her head, or something that has been requested by somebody else. It's a question which she tries to answer to the best of her ability, but most of the times the answers are quite questionable. Now, I actually don't have a specific question, but I did come across an article from The Telegraph about a woman who's talking about her son's girlfriend. And when I read that, it was possibly one of the most anger-inducing things I've ever read. So I'm going to share it with you all, and we'll see together who's in the wrong here. Her son? Her son's girlfriend? Or her? I think you have an understanding of who is in the wrong in this situation. It's a pretty long article as well, so bear with me, but it's a story, pretty much. This woman has gone full on. Against her son's girlfriend. And I mean, just from the tone of it, you knew exactly the type of woman that she is. Okay, so let's enlighten ourselves. My son is 16 and has his first proper girlfriend. He spends all his time with her and my husband, and I encourage them to be under our roof to ensure that we can keep an eye on things. Now, you see, woman, that is the first issue. You're forcing your son and her to be living under the same roof as you. The only trouble is, I completely disapprove of her. Oh, wow. What she does, she must be an awful person, right? We are a nice family from a respectable middle-class background. Mm-hmm. This girl seems, well, rough. She could barely string a sentence together. And when I've occasionally stooped at texts from her to my son, they are barely legible and she can't spell for toffee. She speaks badly and barely says hello or registers my existence when she comes to our house. She has no manners. I know this won't last forever, and my husband tells me I need to calm down and this will fizzle out, but I can't stand the girl. I am no snob. Okay. But my husband says I'm being snobby about this girl. It's led to arguments between us, as he says I've got more judgmental as I've got older, but I can't bring myself to like her. One day, I decided to try and get to know her, so I made us a family meal and invited her too. I know it sounds harsh, but she held her knife like a pen, used her fork in the wrong hand, and kept whispering to my son and giggling. I felt like throwing my plate at her. I felt so angry that she was being so disrespectful. Wow. I've still not met her parents either and have no idea who they are or what they do. After weeks like this, I did sit our son down and ask how things were going. He replied great and that he really, really liked her. But I just can't see why. He's a bright boy who's on track to get good GCSEs this year. I fear she is dragging him down. I asked her what she wants to do when she's older and she shrugged and looked at me blankly. I've spoken to other mums and none of them are in my shoes. Their sons either don't have a girlfriend yet or have met nice girls they approve of. One friend has even made friends with her son's girlfriend's mother and they have coffee together. Wow. To make things worse, my son has started waking up in the night to chat to her on his mobile phone. I woke up at 2 a.m. a few nights ago hearing him whispering to her, he's never done this before, with anybody else. I know this is her influence and I fear his grades will slip and he might fail his GCSEs. All for a girlfriend he probably, hopefully, won't even remember in a few years' time. She has an Instagram page featuring photos of herself barely dressed. She's just everything I would never have wanted for my son. I've tried to sit down and tell him this isn't forever, that he will have to go to a different college, that he will meet other girls, but he just rolls his eye and tells me to chill out. I'm absolutely terrified they might have sex and she might get pregnant. It keeps me awake at night and I am in a constant state of anxiety at the thought of being bound to this girl forever through an accidental pregnancy. I just wanted our son to have a nice first girlfriend, but this girl has invaded our family and is ruining my life. And that is the article. Now, I have many opinions on this, but as politely as possible, I am going to say the mother is in the wrong, don't you think? Okay, yeah, maybe it's kind of bad that, you know, she doesn't say hello or anything and whatnot, but that's not the end all and be all. The issue that this woman has with this girl is the fact that she is from a rough background. She can't string a sentence together. She can't hold a fork and knife properly. All of these things. And then she goes around and says, I'm not snobby. I'm not a snobby person. When everybody, including your husband, is telling you to chill out, take a step back, stop being judgmental, maybe the problem is you and not the girl. And my issue is that the son is happy with this girl that he is with. Every mother would want their son to be happy, right? So what is the issue here? In my opinion, this woman is jealous of the fact that this girl is essentially, you know, taking his baby away from her. I think she's one of those parents from the sounds of it. And I don't even think it would be because she's from a rough background. I just think if any girl was in that situation, she'd still want to be, oh, he's mommy's boy, you know, oh, he's my son. It's just go away, grow up. It's just reason that, I don't know if you also got the same vibes as well as me, but reading that article was just so rage-inducing. Because people are brought up in many different ways. Maybe, yeah, she's from a rough background, but what, just because somebody doesn't know how to hold a fork and knife, you know, makes them an incorrect match for their son. And I'm going to be honest as well, GCSEs don't matter that much, okay? Even if he absolutely tanks his GCSEs, there are still many options within college for you to take, and he still ends up going to university anyway. Like, come on, people. There were people who've gone to universities with, like, C's at A-levels or, like, GCSEs and things. As long as you pass, you know? So, he just needs to take a chill pill. She just needs to take a chill pill and just let her son be happy. He's 16 years old, okay? He's not going to go to bed on time every night. He's going to stay up and he's going to talk to his girlfriend, or he's going to stay up and he's going to play games. So, the bringing up the argument of, he's never done this before with anybody else. Well, because the honeymoon phase? He's in that phase at the moment. Let him enjoy it as a teenager. If you're there imposing like all of these restrictions on him, he's going to start rebelling. And you know what? He's going to end up with a girlfriend even worse than this one apparently is, because he's going to start rebelling against you and your bloody authoritarian methods. There's much more that I can say about the situation, but I feel like just this episode's just been really ranty for me today. And I don't know why. I think it's in the height of me failing my exams. And I need an escape method, you know, just something to let it all out. Granted, I also did that in Thai boxing, you know. I punched a bag to death in Thai boxing on the day that I found out that I failed. But it's been a really ranty one. So I'm gonna hold it there. I'm gonna leave it where it stands. And I think it's now time to wrap it up for this week. If you enjoyed what we had to say, well, what I had to say, you can support us on Patreon for as little as £1 or $1.40. But to be fair, I think I'm going to get rid of Patreon. I think I am, because I've not updated it in, like, absolute years. And yeah, I don't like asking money from people if I'm not able to fulfill those promises, you know? So I think I might end up getting rid of the Patreon. Yeah, anyway, so you can also find our social media links in the podcast bio or the episode bio. And you can also find us on TikTok at GTNALT_podcast, which has been run by the amazing co-host Ellie, who is not here because she decided Greg's was more important. But yes, thank you everybody for listening. And hopefully we will all see you next week.
Goodbye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.